Last month, Bangladesh faced its worst floods in more than three decades. At least 70 people died and around 6 million people were displaced. Much of the water has now subsided, but millions of people are still without homes, clean water, or enough food. Shamim Chowdhury reports from the southern district of Noakhali.
Nurul Haq wades across a murky pool of water. He places one foot cautiously in front of the other, avoiding the dirt and debris that the floods have washed in. He holds his lungi up high, but it's no use. It's soaking by the time he reaches me. Last month, his two-room house was submerged in 3 feet of water.
When the flood happened, I was so tense. I couldn't sleep. I had no idea where I would go, so I went to a shelter.
Those shelters were schools and mosques, hundreds of them across a huge swathe of northeastern, eastern, and southern Bangladesh. We spoke to some of the villagers who have returned home. They're mainly farmers and fishermen. The waters washed away their crops and fish, leaving them with no income. We're in the district of Noakhali, where in some parts the waters have yet to recede.
So did cars used to be able to come down this road before the floods?
Before the floods came, cars could come up this road. It was a proper road laid with bricks. Now it's impossible to drive along here.
The droplets of water on the vegetation remind us that it's monsoon season here, and that means riverbeds can overflow. But decades of industrialization have also played their part, as Ashish Damle, country director of Oxfam, tells me.
Within the last two decades, the urbanization in Bangladesh has grown more than 60%. Urbanization means more population growth in those areas, more constructions, etc. And obviously it has impact on the entire aqua ecosystem.
4 weeks on, the people here are still feeling the effects.
The unique feature of these floods where people did not get time to prepare themselves. So they just could save their lives. The lasting impact is on their livelihood.
Haq has lived here all his life. He tells me he's never seen anything like this and that he's ruined.
The fish have all gone. I had hoped to marry my daughter off. I was hoping to earn some money by fishing. Now I have nothing.
With his hollow cheeks and toothless smile, he looks at least a decade older than his 65 years. He lifts up his threadbare vest to show me a deep scar, a reminder of a recent operation on his intestines. He's not the only one with health issues made worse by the floods. Tafura Bibi is 58. An entire side of her one-room house was torn apart. All that remains is a mangled mound of sopping wood and rusty metal.
I've got joint pain in both my knees from walking through the water all these days.
The floods are the first test of Bangladesh's new interim government, led by Nobel laureate Mohamed Yunus. But has it lived up to its promise of serving the people first? To find out, we head to the nearby town to speak to the district's local government official, Mohamed Sarwar Uddin. He tells me the government has given 200 tons of rice and $8,400 for the relief effort. For now, most of the waters have subsided. But there's always next time.
We are already in climate emergency, so that means we need to have a consistent, long-term, sustained response. I think that level of awareness is lacking at all levels, particularly among the policymakers.
When the waters return, the likes of Haq will be impacted the most. And he fears that he'll be left with even less than he has now. For NPR News, I'm Shamim Chowdhury in Noakhali, Bangladesh.